Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We've started a new series last week with Pastor Wayne on the screen. And that series is called Fearless in Faith. Fearless. Sean, how you doing, man? You're a fearless man. Fearless in faith. And last week, Pastor Wayne was talking about trust. So fearless in faith. Last week was trust. Today, we're going to be talking about lordship. Next week, we'll be talking about harvest. When you think about lordship, the question that I want to ask us today is, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Now, in Zimbabwe, where I grew up, we used to sort of, in Christian circles, in church, in school, we used to have a chant. It used to go something like this. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Yes, we love the Lord.
Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Yes, we love the Lord.
Say, Say, Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Yes, we love the Lord.
Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Yes, we love the Lord.
Say, Yeah, so we used to do that. But it just wouldn't be the one person. So you'd be like in a circle in a room, running around, do you love the Lord? Do you love? Then you do, and then you give someone else to do it. Then someone else runs around. And when they're saying, they're doing dances and things. And you just got to copy. Because we love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Thanks for helping me out. It's good to have some Zimbabweans in the house. You know? Anyone else ever heard that little chant? I tried to look for it on YouTube. It wasn't there. You got to be in Zimbabwe for it. So when you think about trust, trust is actually about action. It's about the way we live. It's about how we think, how we make decisions. We can say we love the Lord, but we actually have to trust Him. And love itself is an action word. So do you love the Lord? Because our love for the Lord is actually supposed to be consuming. It's supposed to consume us every part of our lives. When you hear, do you love the Lord? Maybe if you're not a Christian or if you're not used to hearing that, it can sound weird to love a Lord. Like, I've got a landlord. I don't love my landlord. I haven't even seen the guy. And some of you don't know anything about landlords because you didn't want to have anything to do with that and you bought your own house, right? But when you think about it, what is Lord? What does that word actually mean? Just in the dictionary, it talks about what a Lord is. It's a person with power, authority, or mastery, acting as a ruler or a master. This term often denotes a male member of the British nobility or a deity, God, in religious contexts. That's what a Lord is. But we're talking about a different kind of Lord. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. And when we say lordship, and when we say, do you love the Lord? What does the Bible actually tell us about that? The Bible tells us in Matthew 22:37, Jesus says these words to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With some of your heart? All your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is what Jesus tells us. This is how we're to love the Lord. So what does loving the Lord in this way actually look like? Loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is what he's inviting us to. He's always invited us to this, but he wants to remind us through his word, through his spirit today. What does it actually look like? It starts with trust. Loving the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. It starts with trust. We heard last week, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all. That word comes up again. All. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. We all have understanding of some sort. But we're actually asked in the word to live by faith and not by sight. We're not to live by how things are going. We're not to live by what we know and what it looks like. That's all helpful, but we've got to start with faith. Live by faith and not by sight. And this is what has been spoken about in Proverbs, that we're not to lean on our own understanding. It actually says, in all your ways, in everything you do, in how you do what you do, in how you think, in how you make decisions, in what you do with your time, in what you do with your money, with your relationships, acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge, submit to him. We are asked by our Lord to submit to him. And guess what it says? And he will make straight your paths. He will direct your paths. It's so easy and so natural for us to want to do things in the ways we know best, in the way things are just going to happen. We want to make it happen. Let's make it happen. But God's saying, I want to make your path straight. I've had times in my life I'm like, I don't know what to do, Lord. What are you calling me to? What are you calling us to? And this has been one of the key verses in my life of, I don't know what's going on. But God says, trust in me, acknowledge me in all your ways. Don't lean on your own understanding. But God, that does not make sense. That does not add up. Logic says no. But he's saying, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll make your path straight. I remember when we had to make a decision to either move to London with no work, no house for 2 years. Do we go to London for what kind of looks good but is a big faith step? Or do we take this offer to work in church and full-time ministry and quit my work in corporate? What do we do? And that was a crazy journey where we weren't sure, but we trusted in him. We didn't lean on our own understanding. And we took the leap of faith. And we went to London, which sounds like not the leap of faith. But for us in that season, that was the leap of faith. And we saw God make straight our paths. I remember I was in debt at that time, debt I'd brought into marriage and was struggling to pay it off. And we take the step of going to London where we're not going to have enough money. We might not get work. But I tell you what, we got to travel 40 cities in 20 countries and we came back with no debt. He was making our path straight. And God clarified our call for ministry. And when we came back, we started stepping more into ministry. So he calls us to trust him. It says all because God wants all. We heard this morning from Annette that he's given us all. He wants all. He gave 100%. He wants 100%. He wants everything about you. He wants to consume you. This is what lordship is. And, you know, when you say yes to him, he gives you everything that he is. He gives you all. You have access. Doesn't mean you get everything that you want. You have access to him and he is all. But it's not just when you give your life to him that day. It's every single day he wants to give you and I his all. But the question is, do we trust him? Do we love him? Have you noticed that in the Old Testament, when you're reading in your Bible, you actually see when it says Lord, it's all in capitals. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever wondered why it's in capitals? It comes from the Shema, the prayer that the Jews pray morning and night. And part of that prayer is the verse that we read at the start. Love the Lord, your God, with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart. But that word Lord, it's actually Israel's personal name for God. It's their personal name for God that God revealed to them when Moses had an encounter with an angel. And Moses said to the angel, who will I say to the people who has given me these words? And he says, you tell them, I am, said so. He's like, what, I am? He's like, I am, I am. I will be. And what that actually meant was the words Yahweh. And so he revealed himself as Yahweh, their God. But that word was so divine and is so divine that in the Old Testament, the Jewish people decided not to actually use that word. They would not say it. They started using the word Adonai. They started using the word Jehovah because Lord, as Yahweh, is so divine. It's a powerful name. It's a personal name to God's people. So when you see in the English translations in the Old Testament in capital letters, it is actually to remind us, it's an indication of how divine God's name is. Yahweh, Adonai, Lord. This is the God we're talking about. Do you love him? How does your life show that you trust in the Lord? Think about your life right now. How is it showing that you trust in the Lord? Is it just a Sunday thing? It's good to come to church, good to be in church, but that's not where it ends. What does it look like when you wake up in the morning? What does it look like when you're having a fight with a loved one? What does it look like when you have to make a big decision about a transition? Do you trust the Lord in that moment? Or do you just take matters? Do I just take matters into my own hands? We're to submit to him in all our ways. If we're not trusting him, then we're not submitting to him. We struggle, even I struggle to trust God sometimes because I don't understand certain things that are happening or why they're happening or why. Lord, what is happening? Lord, I want to understand. But God is not asking us for understanding. He's asking us to trust him, even though we don't understand. Why would I do that? Lord, that doesn't make sense. If he's made it clear that's what he wants you to do, he wants you to just trust him and just do it. You think about that word understand. I've had people say understand. Look at it as in stand under. Understand. Stand under him. Stand under what he wants. Submit to him. Stand under the Lord. Say yes, Lord, whatever you want. Nothing else is above you, Lord. I just want you and what you want. I don't have to understand, but I'm going to stand under your word. Trust. Who is the Lord of your heart? Who is the Lord of your time? Who is the Lord of my thoughts? Who is the Lord of your schedule? This all shows who we trust. Who's the Lord of your bank account? Am I the Lord of my bank account? I couldn't have a bank account without the Lord. Whether I was in ministry or whether I was working as a chartered accountant, I couldn't have a bank account without the Lord. I couldn't have a bank account with money in it without the Lord. I couldn't have a job without the Lord. I couldn't make more money without the Lord. But how often do we live like He's not involved and we make the decisions about our finance without consulting Him, without consulting His Word, and we try to look at it from our own understanding? Oh, that's Old Testament. That doesn't make sense. That's no longer. Or, oh, I need to do this. We can make all the excuses. But when you know what He's told you, what His Word says, you got to continue to trust. Even if it looks like it's going to take you into a bad place, if He's saying do it, and if there's wise counsel around you for that, then you trust Him and you do it. This is trust. Who is the Lord of your energy? Your capacity. Trust in the Lord. Lordship. Do you love the Lord? So how do you love Him and trust Him? What does this actually look like? How do you love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? It's called surrender. Surrender. We sing it, I surrender all, don't we? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You are worthy of it all. We sing that. You're worthy of it all. That word keeps coming up, all. But do we actually mean what we're singing? What is He worthy of? What's the all? Is it just in that moment He's worthy of all of your worship? Or is He actually worthy of all of my life, all of my days, all of my thoughts, all of my doubts? I need to come to Him with all those things. I surrender all. He's either Lord of all or He's not. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. This is what surrender is. It is challenging. It's challenging me. There's things I need to surrender to Him. Daily we're to surrender. He desires 100% of yourself. Full surrender, not partial. If you're just giving partial of yourself to Him, that is not full surrender. He wants all, and it takes trust to give Him all. And we think we're going to lose. I'm going to lose that. I'm going to lose this. But He's our creator. He's our source. He's like, get rid of that. Put it aside. Put it at my feet. And then He gives you all of Himself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things would be added unto you. We go in cycles, trying to do it ourselves. The Israelites did it. They were disobeying God. They went in cycles. A journey that was supposed to take them 11 days took them 40 years because they were not surrendered. How long do you want to go for when God's like, I've got things to do in and through you? Stop going in cycles. Just trust me and surrender. You see, the government is a lord of some sort to all of us. The authorities are a lord of some sort to all of us. The prince, the queen, they all have that power. But do you give them everything? No, because they're not like the Lord. Who else is like the Lord? He requires all of you. He doesn't want you to leave anything out. It sounds like a big ask, doesn't it? But the big ask has already been fulfilled. The punishment of your sin has been covered. You have salvation. Jesus has given everything. And now He requires us to give all of ourselves, only so that He can give us even more of Himself. Let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. We're going to hear the story of the rich young ruler. Matthew 19. You have to open your Bibles for this one. Or just listen to me. Matthew 19, 16 to 22. It says this, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?'" This man comes to Jesus. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." If you would enter life and keep the commandments, he said to him. So this guy then says to Jesus, "Well, which ones?" Because Jesus is saying to him, "If you keep the commandments, then you will have eternal life." But the young guy says, "Which ones?" And Jesus says, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" This young man was pretty much saying, "Hey, Jesus, I hear you're the teacher. I see what you're doing. Well, I'm on the narrow way to heaven, baby." He said, "I've got it sorted. If you only knew what I've got it made. So you tell me, what do I still lack? What do I still, because I got it all. What do I need to, all the commandments. Do not steal, do not lie. Do not do this, do not." It's like, I've got that covered. And Jesus purposefully only gave them 6 or 7 of those. I can't remember how many they are. He didn't give them the whole picture. So this guy goes, "What do I still lack?" Jesus says to him, "If you would be perfect, if you would be mature, if you would be complete, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Mr. had it all. Mr. got it covered. He didn't have it covered. We don't have it covered. See, the Ten Commandments: have no other God before me. He didn't have that covered because his possessions, his money was a god to him, was an idol. So he freaked out. He walks away sorrowful, going, "I can't do that." Jesus didn't even mention that commandment. And Jesus wasn't even talking about that commandment when he said, "Sell your possessions." He was talking about the 10th commandment: do not covet someone else's stuff. He was talking about that in, do not be greedy. This guy was greedy. He was not prepared to make God the Lord of his life. Lordship is about authority and ownership. He's the one in authority. He's the one that owns everything. We just get to be stewards. I'm not an owner of anything. I don't have any authority other than delegated authority that he gives me. But he wants you to steward the things he's put in your life. Your marriage, your children, your friends, your job, your money, your skills, your talents. You are to be a steward of that. For from him are all things, and to him are all things, through him are all things. So we're to be stewards of what he puts in our hands. And when you look at those 10 commandments, none of us can fulfill them. But God gave those to the Israelites to actually show them, you need a savior. You need me. You can't do this without me. We can only live by his ways by having him in our lives as Lord. I loved how Annette in communion today talked about taking up our cross. We are to take up our cross. We are to totally submit ourselves to him. Total submission. Nothing left out. Everything given to him. Consider him in everything. Sounds like hard work, but it's more work when you don't. It's saying, he loved me. He said yes to the cross for me. Love said yes to the nails of the cross for me. Love said yes to going into the tomb. Oh, and then I love how you describe those days between from the garden to the point he went to the cross and how he was supposed to die before he even got there. But he said yes, and he waited for the joy that was set before him. We get to take up our cross daily. We're to be living sacrifices. See, when you said yes to Jesus, you were born again. We heard that this morning. When you said yes to Jesus, you died. Sometimes I question, did I really die? Did I actually die then? Because there's things still happening. There's things that are still living in my life that I'm wanting to control. But he actually wants us to die and come to new life in him. We're to be living sacrifices. We die every day. We get to die every day because there is still sinful desires just hanging there that are part of our makeup. The sinful nature is crucified when you say yes, but you can still give in to sinful desires. So we get to die, and that is surrender. Saying no, saying yes to him, your will, not my will. Total submission, total sacrifice, total obedience. And then, did you know what I was preaching on or something? Because I could have just not preached. Hey, she didn't. And I knew that. But God did. He was setting you up. He was setting me up. What has become a God in your life? What has become a God in my life? What has become an idol in my life? What are you putting above God? What do you love more than you love God? Who do you love more than you love God? Because we're told right back in Exodus that he is a jealous God. We're told in James that he is jealous for the spirit that he's put in you. He is jealous for you. So what are you putting? What am I putting before him? Are you more worried about your future than you're in love with him? Are you more concerned about your finance than to spend time with him? Is there someone that you love, adore in your life, and put before God, above God? It is difficult, but this is what he asks us for. He wants to be number one, but then everything else will fall into place. He's not saying don't love your loved ones. He's not saying don't show them love, don't prioritize them. He's saying there's an order. He's to be Lord of all. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils." It doesn't say money is evil. Money makes the world go round. We wouldn't be in this church right now, even holding a microphone, without money. It takes money for things to happen. But it's the love of money. It's when money is what compels you, when money is what drives you, when money consumes you, where there's no room in your life than other to make money. When how your shares are going is the thing you want to look at all the time. When how the church is going is what you want to look at all the time. I'm like, how many people did we have on the weekend? How many people did we have on the weekend? How many people do they have on the weekend? That's becoming a God for a pastor. But money is not a bad thing. It's the love of money that is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. I need to meet some more rich people that love the Lord. Because I don't know many. Maybe it's just me. I know they're there, but Lord, I'm like, show me. Because I want to see someone who is just flourishing amazingly financially, but loves the Lord more than any of that. I'm just being honest. I know a few. If you know some, bring them to me because it will encourage me. But Jesus himself says about after the rich young ruler that it's going to be so hard for rich people to go to heaven, to enter his kingdom. Because of that, when it becomes love, a love of money, God becomes just another thing. But he wants to be Lord. See, the heart is revealed through your relationship with money and possessions, through those things we tend to like to control. See, the picture of surrender, we talk about surrender, this is the picture of surrender. Hands held high. This is surrender. Hands held high. When your hands are held high, guess what? You can receive. You can receive, but not only can you receive, it also flows off you. You're not just keeping it to yourself. That's surrender. But when you do this, you get, and then you just do this, or you hold. Close hands. You can't give, but you actually can't receive more. You look at most times, the more money you get, the world says it. The more problems you have. The more money you have, you're never satisfied. You want more, you want more. Let's be a people that come to the place of, Lord, I put you above money. I don't need to have so much money. It's not about a spirit of poverty. We want to be a blessing. Lord, bless us so we can be a blessing. Bless us so we can look after our families. It's when it becomes an idol. But surrender is having those arms up, wide open, held high. And you know what God does as you're like that? He just pours all of himself. He just pours. He can pour. He actually just comes and holds you. You're like, but how can I keep my hands up when God has come? I just want to hold him. Well, he holds you. He comes down. You know, you stand under him. You trust him, and then he comes down and he holds you. But you still keep your arms open as he's holding you. And he directs you as he's holding you. He just directs you as he pours himself out on you. Where does fearless faith come into all of this? Fearless faith. Trust in the Lord. Surrender yourself to God. See, faith is not about risk. I heard someone say this recently. Faith is not about risk, it's about trust. Faith is about trust, not risk. Faith is jumping into the Father's arms because you trust him. You jump into his arms because you trust him. But risk is when you try to jump when the Father's not there. But when you trust the Lord and you hear what he's saying, you know he's there. You're only going to jump because he said jump. When you risk, you're just like, I'm just going to do it, see what happens. That's not faith. Faith is based on his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you love the Lord? If you love him, you will trust him. If you love him, you'll surrender to him. If you love him, you will remain in him. You will stay in him. The Bible calls this abiding in Jesus. If you love him, you will trust him. You will surrender. I will surrender. I will trust. But then you actually stay in him. You remain. You abide. John 15 verse 5, what does it say? Jesus says these words, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's like, you're connected to me. You're supposed to be connected to me. Abide in me and I in him. He it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing without him. Even when it seems like nothing's happening in our lives, he's like, I'm at work. It says, that person who abides in him and God abides in that person, it is that person who bears much fruit. Is there always fruit on the branches? You abide in him and you trust him that the fruit's going to come. He's asking for our trust. He's asking for our obedience. And the obedience he asks for is instant. It's now. When he says, do something now, instant. But the reward, the result, the fruit is not always instant. It's up to him. When? And that's where trust and surrender comes in. We're to abide in him. So you might be a fan of the prince. Prince William, Prince Harry. You might be a fan of the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, right? You might be a fan of Donald Trump, all these people in power, fanatic. But how close are you to them? Yes, we'll listen and we'll do what the law needs us to do according to, you know, what we're supposed to do with the law of the land. But how close are you actually to them? There's not much proximity. This is where you see that the Lord asks us for something different. Lordship is relational. You can treat those people as people you follow, people you're a fan of. But with God, we can't just treat him like how we treat the queen. Pay our respects, pay this and that, check what's happening in their lives. With the Lord, it's about relationship. It's about abiding. It's about proximity. It's intimate. We heard it this morning. If anyone would come after me, Matthew 16, 24. If Rebecca would come after me, if Prem would come after me, if Steve would follow me, if Bruce would follow me, if Alan would follow me, if Beck would follow me, let that person deny himself. He's asking each one of us to deny ourselves. Lord, would you reveal to each one of us what that means? We all have crosses to take up. He's asking us to follow him, to abide in him, to live in him. What else is more important in your life than him? If the music team could please come up. If you love the Lord, then you'll focus on what he loves. What he loves is found in his book. What is loved will be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. What he loves, you can find out if you make him the Lord of your life. If you say yes to him every day. What breaks his heart? Do you know what breaks his heart? Is he the Lord of your life? Lord of everything. Just think about all the elements of your life. Is he the Lord of that? The Lord of all, over all. Is there anything in your life that is taking God's place? What's taking God's place in my life? I just sense for some of us this morning that God wants to get into our business. He wants to get into our time. He wants to get in our schedule. He wants you to just come to him in the morning and say, Lord, what have you got in store today for me? Do you think about the Lord as the first thing when you wake up? Do you think about the Lord when you're going down onto your pillow? Do you think about the Lord throughout the day? This is not a religious thing. This is a relationship. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. See, for Christ to be Lord, you have to submit everything to him. Imagine, church, imagine. John, just imagine with me, bro. All these people in this room were submitted to God. We submitted all our for ourselves, and we loved him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Just imagine. Just ask the Lord, what would happen in our midst? What would happen in our communities? What would happen in our workplaces if each one of us actually gave Him 100% of ourselves? If we submitted to Lordship, trust, surrender, abide. TLA, three-letter acronym. TSA, not the Salvation Army. I love the Salvation Army. Trust, surrender, abide. I encourage you to remember those words this week. Trust, surrender, abide. Am I trusting Him? When your child's sick, will you keep trusting Him? When things are not looking good, will you keep trusting Him and surrender to Him? It's so natural and easy for us to stop surrendering and stop abiding when things go hard. But sometimes God allows things to go hard so we can pay attention to Him. Because that's the only way we're going to break down. That's the only way we realize, man, I can't do this by myself, is when He allows the things of the world to get to us, to break us. He doesn't want to have things do that to us. He doesn't alter those things, but He will allow it if you're not walking with Him, because you said yes to Him. You're walking this path, but once I go this way, I've left the path, the straight path. So what does He do? He just comes. He tries. Then sometimes He's got to get the... Sometimes He has to get the crook, the shepherd's crook, the hook, you know, the shepherd's thing. He's got, and it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. He disciplines us because He loves us. It's also that He can pull you back into the Father's arms.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.